Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
There's a story in the Old Testament that could be a story today. It's a single mom. Her husband died. She's got two little boys. She's got a lot of debt. That sound like anything today? And she's in a tough place. She needs a miracle from God. And we're going to dive into her story and see what God would speak to us today through that. Every story in the Bible is there for a reason. And when you read it, I encourage you to back up and figure out the life principles of it. And if you'll do that, the Holy Spirit will show you. Just like David. It goes out, you know, he whacks a giant, David and Goliath, with a slingshot. How did he get to that point? Well, that story didn't start then. It started way back, because when he stood before Saul and he says, I've killed a lion and I've killed a bear. Well, so that story started back on the hillside with the sheep. See, he had private victories before he had a public victory. He had a private victory with the Lord before he had a public victory with people. See, that's a life principle. We can't just jump up on Sunday morning after we've been living crazy all week long and say, I'm going to pray for people. You got to have some private victories with God before you walk out in public and pick up your slingshot and rock, unless you just want to show people how you can miss everything. See, every story in the Bible has a life lesson for us. And let's look at this one. It's found in 2 Kings Chapter 4, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. My husband died. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors coming to take my 2 sons to be his slaves. Now, that was accepted culture in the time. If you owed money to somebody and you couldn't pay them, they could take your children and put them in child slavery, basically, until the debt was paid off. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? He was the president of the school of the prophets. Tell me, what do you have in your house? She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And he said to her, well, go borrow vessels from everywhere. From all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. And then I want you to pour out, take that little jar of oil, I want you to pour out in all of those vessels and fill them up. So she went from him. She shut the door behind her and her son. She brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, well, Mama, there's not any more. And so the oil ceased. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. That's a pretty good miracle. I mean, every day and twice on Sunday, that's a good miracle. But how did it get there? How did it go from being desperate, her son's going to be taken away, to having not only enough money to pay her debts, but to live on the rest? Well, first of all, the prophet Elisha, he knew something that she didn't know, that we need to know today. And that is that everybody has something in their possession. Everybody has something in their house. She said, I don't have anything but a jar of oil. And the prophet said, okay, we'll work with that. I want you to go to all your neighbors, get as many buckets and barrels and vases as you can. Empty ones, bring in your house. And then you're going to take that little bitty jar of oil and you're going to pour it and you're going to fill them all up. Now, that makes no sense. In the natural, it makes no sense. In the natural, it makes no sense to tell an old man standing on the edge of the Red Sea with millions of people wanting to kill him and Pharaoh's army bearing down on him to take a stick and hold it out over the water. It makes no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense to have a teenage boy turn him loose with a pocket full of rocks and a slingshot against a giant. It makes no sense. And that's where we have to lean in to the revelation of the Lord and what God is saying. Because if God says do it, don't worry about if it makes sense. Just do it. Now, this woman had a jar of oil in her house. And Elisha knew one of the great secrets. We all have something in our hands. We all have something in our lives that God can start with and start a miracle. When Moses faced the biggest leadership challenge of his life, God said, "What do you have in your hand?" Moses had a staff. Joshua had a Jericho march. Caleb had a passion for his mountain. He said, "Give me this mountain." David had a slingshot and a rock. What do you have in your house? Maybe you're like this woman today. You're facing something that's an incredible challenge. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Or maybe you've been through it and you have a testimony of it. Or you kind of feel like her today that, you know, I don't have a way out of this. I don't have an answer. Well, first of all, today, you need to recognize what's in your house. Esther had her influence. Elijah had his offer. Elisha had his double portion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had their obedience to God. Daniel had his prayer. Jonah had his repentance. What do you have in your house? Zacchaeus had a tree to climb. Blind Bartimaeus had his voice to cry out. The woman with the issue of blood had her perseverance to push through the crowd. The woman at the table with Jesus had her crumbs. Paul and Silas had a song in the night. Peter had a voice at the Feast of Pentecost. Philip had an answer for the Ethiopian man. Stephen gave his life for Jesus. Jesus gave his life for you and me. What do you have in your house? There's something there that God wants to work with. Yes, He created the world, and you have a magnificent view. I believe you have the greatest view of any church in any place in the world right outside this door here. God created all of that. So why doesn't God just snap His finger and do your thing and take care of everything? Because He wants you to be involved with what He's doing. He created the world without you, but He wants to change the world with you. Somebody write that down. That sounds good. He wants to change, but He changes us. He works it. See, God is more interested in doing something in you than doing something for you. We got to position ourselves for God working through our. It's a journey. It's a process. Everything is a process. So let's look at some life principles real quick in this story. First of all, I see four keys to how she wound up with a miracle. The first one was she recognized her source. Now, in this scripture, she went to the man of God. In that day and time, that's what they did. God spoke through prophets. If you wanted to hear from God, you had to go to a prophet. You don't have to do that today. You can boldly come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. We're all priests and kings unto Him. We can come before the Lord in the name of Jesus and enter the presence of God and receive from Him. Every one of us can do that. Don't let anybody tell you got to have a priest, a prophet, a pastor, somebody to help you get to Jesus. Yes, we're here. We have our offices. We have our roles to do, but we all have access to our Heavenly Father. The first thing we need to recognize is that God is not our last resort. He's our first step. He's not the fire extinguisher behind glass. When all else fails, well, I guess we ought to pray now. We've done everything else. I guess it's come down to that. We're going to pray. No, prayer should be the first thing. What is prayer? It's communication to God, going to our Heavenly Father. Daddy, I got an issue here. I know you know the issue. But let's talk about this. She went to the man of God. She recognized her source. The second thing is that she respected the word. This is so important. She listened and honored His word. You know, He could have said, she could have argued with Him and said, "Look, don't you understand? Why are you asking me what I have? I don't have anything. I got a little jar of oil. That's nothing. Why don't you get the church organized and have a bake sale? Yeah, let's have a gospel singing group come in. That's a southern thing. Let's have a gospel singing group come in. I know everything's southern from here, but that's a southern thing where I'm from. A Washington southern to you all. I mean, hey, but that's not to us. And let's have them come in and do a benefit singing. And we'll take up a love offering for you." Well, why don't we do that, Elisha? Well, what are you talking about? A jar of oil in my house. So she didn't argue with the word of God. She didn't wrestle with the word of God. She believed the word of God. And she did what the man of God said. She respected. When God gives you a word, you protect that word. You protect that word. I'm just going to go ahead and plow into this right now. I said this at the last of the message, the last service, but I'm going to say it now in this one because of our time. But we protect what we value, and we invest in what we value. That's why in Mark chapter 4, my favorite parable, the parable of the sower, the sower sowed the word, the birds come immediately, the devil come immediately to steal the word. You know why? Because the word's valuable. And those that were on stony ground and those that were, it was a wayside, nobody valued it. Only the ones that valued it received it. There'll be people here this morning. I hope not. I hope 100% of the people here today receive the word of the Lord, whatever. Not that I'm going to say anything important, but the Holy Spirit could speak something in your heart while I'm talking today. Listen, value that. Take that. Meditate on that. Mix faith with that. Do that. Whatever God speaks to you, value the word of God. We protect what we value. If you go out and buy a $100,000 car today, which could be a Ford Fiesta. I was in Singapore last fall preaching. I think it was the third largest church in Singapore. There's some mega churches there. And Singapore, there's no other place on the planet like Singapore. There's no trash. There's no homeless people. There's nothing like that. But I don't want to live there because of some other things. But if you want to buy a car there, you can buy a car, but you have to have a permit to buy a car. The permit costs $100,000 to buy the permit to buy the car. Then you go pay $60,000 for a Fiesta. It's double what it is here. So now you've got $160,000, and then at the end of 5 years, five or eight, you have to sell it to a guy, a group that buys it, and they put them on a ship and ship it and sell them other places because the government doesn't want old cars on the road. There are no old cars on the road. Then you have to go buy another permit and buy another car. I'm telling you, that Ford Fiesta would be locked up in my garage. I wouldn't be setting it out in the street with the keys in it. But have you driven by anybody's house? And if you resemble this remark, please don't be offended by me by saying this. But have you ever been driven by a house somewhere and there's a couple of cars sitting in the front yard? Now, maybe this is a southern thing too. And they're up on blocks and the tires are off of them. And there's weeds growing up. Maybe got a tree growing up through the middle of one of them. Some of you going like, yeah, that's my house. I got one. Yeah, I see that hand over there. Yeah, you got two of them, don't you? Yeah. You know, some homeless guy could be walking by. You know, his shoes are about wore out. And he looks over there and he sees that old car, you know, and the weeds growing around it. He's never tempted to go over there and steal that car. He just keeps on walking barefooted. Why? Because there's no value to it. If you spend $100 or $200 on a car, you're going to put it in your garage. You're going to lock it up. The Word of God is much more valuable than anything possession we'll ever have on planet Earth. She recognized the Word. She protected the Word. She valued the Word. Here's the third thing she did. She responded in obedience. See, obedience always opens the door to blessing. Obedience always brings blessing. She obeyed without question. James 1:22 says what? Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. She did what she was told. So she went, she recognized her source. She respected the word. She valued it. And then she responded in obedience. Those are three life principles I see out of that. They're very simple. And every one of us can do that. Every one of us. You get a word from God, you believe the word of God, you do the word of God, and then she received her miracle. She got what she needed. In fact, the oil didn't stop until the Bible says she ran out of emptiness. It wasn't that God didn't have any more oil, it's that she had no more emptiness for it to fill up. Listen, if you want more of God, you got to make room for God. You got to check your schedule. I love Jesus. I want more Jesus. I want to be filled with God. I want everything God's got. I want everything God's got, but I don't have time to go to church but about once a month. Okay, God's going to fill up what you give him. You give him a teacup, he'll fill that up, and that's what you got. If you want barrels filled up, you're going to have to get some empty barrels. There have to be some emptiness on it. We have to empty ourselves out of some stuff in our life in order to get filled up by what God has for us. And if she'd have had twice as many barrels, she would have filled up twice as many. The oil didn't stop until she didn't have any emptiness for the oil. And again, that's another life principle out of this. But the other part of her miracle was this, and this is what I want to get to right now. Half of her miracle was what she had inside her house. It was her jar of oil that represented her faith. You can't fill up buckets with a little jar. By the way, if she had been some crazy lady that didn't get along with her neighbors. Run around, called them demon-possessed all the time. Wouldn't have anything to do with them. How many barrels and buckets do you think they would have given her? What if they only gave her 1 5-gallon bucket? Everybody knows what a 5-gallon bucket is. And she had 1 5-gallon bucket. Would it have been a miracle to fill up a 5-gallon bucket with a little bitty jar of oil? It's not a trick question. Yeah, that'd have been a miracle. And she probably could have paid her bills up for a month or so with that. But then a month later, she's back knocking on Elisha's door. Help me! Help! They're going to come get my boys again. So she had to live from miracle to miracle to miracle. And that's where a lot of people are in their life. A lot of Christians, they go, well, you know, I got prayer, but now and now I'm here. And every month, it's just something else. Every 6 months, it's just something else all the time. I got to have this. What about a miracle that takes you from being repossessed by the bank one day to being on the bank board the next day? How'd she get there? Well, what she had in her house was her faith. And her faith determined the quality of her miracle. But what she had outside her house were her relationships. And her relationships determined the quantity of her miracle. Well, think about that a second. Without her relationships, she would have had a small miracle as far as quantity. But with relationships, she had an incredible miracle that set her for life, because Elisha said, sell the oil, pay your debt, and live on the rest. Her boys are little. She's got enough money now to manage it right to live the rest of her life. Are you kidding me? It's like an oil well in your backyard. That's an incredible miracle. I take that every day and twice on Sunday. How about you all? How did that happen? Yes, she had faith, but she had relationships. You see, your resources are in your relationships. The most valuable thing that God has given us on planet Earth are our relationships. The most valuable thing. The most valuable thing God has given us with Him is relationship. Did you know that relationships are the only thing that are eternal? People say, you can't take it with you. I know of a guy in Texas that was buried in his Cadillac. Literally. You can't take it with you. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can take relationships to heaven with you. You can take your family to heaven with you. You can take friends to heaven. You can, to every person you can lead to Jesus, you can take them to heaven with you. And the reverse is true. You can take people to hell with you. And one of the most chilling things I think will be in hell is some boy saying, some grown man saying to his dad, why didn't you take me to church? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why did you cuss the preacher all the time? Why did you beat mama? Why did you do this? Why didn't you? And they're both burning in hell because you didn't tell me about Jesus. That's a sobering thought. The same thing for mamas raising kids. It's the same thing for preachers getting up and preaching something beside the gospel. There'll be preachers in hell. There'll be preachers in hell that aren't saved, that aren't living for God, that it's nothing more than a vocation for them to get up and tell stories about the Bible they read. They talk about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And there's going to be people in their congregations looking them in the eye in heaven saying, why didn't you tell me about the real Jesus? I know this is not Sunday morning material, but it's sobering. See, relationships are the most valuable thing that we have. Satan wants to steal relationships. That's what he started with in the Garden of Eden. He stole the why was he there? To steal the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. And he did. Oh, they still had a relationship, but it wasn't like the one. And you and I are still living that life today. But now we have a relationship through Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross and gave his life for us and paid the price and the penalty of sin, so that we can have the free gift of grace in our lives and have a relationship with God and empty out ourselves and be filled with him and experience the promises that Pastor talked about. Here coming up this fall, you're going to have life groups and sign up for life groups. And somebody says, well, I don't need to be in a life group. I haven't found anybody I like yet. I don't want to hurt you this morning. I'm a pastor. I love you. But can I give you a revelation this morning? Not everybody likes you. And it's okay. You don't have to take a pill for it. Not everybody likes me. And it's growing in this crowd right now, I believe. Not everybody likes me. It's okay. Not everybody in Missouri comes to my church. You know why? They don't like me. That's okay. It's all right. But there are people here that do like you. And there are people here that you do share stuff with. Quite frankly, I love everybody in my church, but there's a few I don't like very well. So, God says that we got to love everybody. I love them. Love is a commitment. Like is a personality. It's a partial. There are people that, you know, I love them. I'll pray for them. I'll help them. I'll marry their kids and bury their parents and I'll do all that. I'll be the best pastor I can be to them, but I don't want to go on vacation with them. Now you laughing, but don't point at anybody right now. You know what I'm talking about, okay? But there are people here that you do connect with. There are people here that you do want to go on vacation with. There are people here you want to hang out with. That's your life group. Find it and get in it. I was in Nigeria, Pastor knows the story. I was in Nigeria 25 years ago or so preaching in the capital city of Abuja. They moved it from Lagos to the middle and the interior, and they carved out a Western city. It's like a Western city. Not the rest of them aren't, but that one is. We stayed in a big Sheraton hotel, and they moved all the government there. And so this big church organization I was with, they sent a guy from Lagos who had a great church there to pioneer a church there to reach the people in the government. That was their goal. And he had a PhD. We were the same age. They dedicating a new building, and I was doing the service, and it was packed out of people, and had a great service. And afterwards, we had lunch together, and there's several people around this big round table. And a pastor sitting next to me. Now you have to understand something. In Africa, tribes are a big thing. It's a real identity thing. It's power. I mean, it's very important, very important. And my buddy is like my brother there that I was with. He's from the Igbo tribe, which is a major tribe in Nigeria. And so this pastor next to me, he said, "We're eating and just kind of talking." And he leaned over and he said, "What tribe are you from?" Oh, what am I going to say? If I say we don't have tribes in America, that might insult him. It might offend him. What am I going to do? And a word hit my brain. And before I could stop it, it hit my mouth and came out. I said, "I'm from the hillbilly tribe." Which was probably more truth than not, since I am from Kentucky. And when I said it, I thought, "Oh, geez, what did I just say? That did not say that." But I just had stone cold face and looked at him. He just looked at me. And it's like an eternity, but it was only a couple seconds, you know. He said, "Hillbilly. Okay." And we went back to eating. And I had an epiphany in that moment. I realized we do have tribes in America. We got them. But they're not tribes based on blood. They're not tribes based on skin color. They're not tribes based on money. They're tribes based on culture. We connect because we have a like culture. You come to this church not because the pastor's white or black or polka dotted. You come here because you want the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. You come here because you want to worship and sing. You come here because you want Alaska to be saved. You come here because you share the culture of this church. And we're all one. We're all part of the same tribe. We're the King's tribe right here. We're all part. And you've got micro tribes all in King's tribe here. We got a group of women that play dulcimers that are a fat life group. I don't play the dulcimer. I don't want to be in their group. That's okay. I don't want to go to their group. It's okay. It's all right. If you don't play the dulcimer, you shouldn't either. But there are people here you can connect with. Now, some of you are saying, "I don't need that. I got my relationship groups. I don't need that." And you might be correct in that. But they need you. So you may not need them, but they need you. You've got something you can give. You've got wisdom you can impart. You've got talents to release that you could be in a life group, and you're there because God is using you to bless other people. Our resources are in our relationships. And we have to determine, are we going to access that? Now, it's not just you getting something. It's you and I giving something. See, I want to be a relationship resource. I just don't want to have relationship resources. And if it's not a one-sided coin, it's we do it together. Your pastor's a relationship resource to me. I'm a relationship resource to him. When he comes to my church, he blesses me. His last time at our church was one of the greatest meetings we've had in the history of our church. And I have some preachers in. He did such an incredible job. I've watched him grow and grow, and his wife, I've watched them develop and grow until it's like, oh, that's awesome. They don't need me anymore. It's been a relationship resource, see? And vice versa. Your resources are in your relationships. And I can hear somebody right now say, yeah, I tried that stuff and I got hurt. Welcome to planet Earth. Jesus was at the epitome, the climax of his ministry before the cross, where he institutes what we call the Lord's Supper, the new covenant. He unpacks what the Passover was really about to his disciples. This bread is my body. The blood over the doorpost, that's my blood. He revealed to them. He's at the apex, and one of them gets up and betrays him. And he could have got up and said, God, I'm done. Forget it. Skip this. Let them all go to the boogie place. Or he could have said, I'm going to go pray and get another 12. This 12 is a, I got one guy denying me. I got another guy doubting me. I got two guys want to call fire down from heaven, kill, genocide an entire community. I missed it somewhere, Father. I'm going to go pray and pick 12 more guys, start all over again. But he didn't. You see, he didn't leave the 11 when the one left him. And when you're betrayed, when you're hurt, when somebody wounds you, and it will happen, it's going to happen. It's happened. It's just part of life. That's when you need the 11 more. That's when you need those to get around you and encourage you. That's when you need somebody you can call on the phone and unpack your anger and your pain. And I have a lot of pastors. I tell them, I guess they're all young guys. Yeah, they're all young. So I have a lot of younger pastors, and I tell them, look, I'm a safe date. You can call me and tell me whatever you can be frustrated. You can be mad. You can just ventilate. I'm a safe date. I'm not calling anybody. I'm not going to get on the phone. I'm not putting on Facebook. I'm just going to listen, and then I'm going to speak wisdom to you. I'm just going to cry with you. I'm going to weep with you. I'm going to laugh with you. I'm just going to be there. I'm safe. I'm okay. That's relationship wealth right there to have. And that's why you need to be in a life group and be a part of it, not just to get, but to give and be a part of that. It strengthens. It's like a backbone core of the church. It's so important. Let me wrap this up. Relationship with Jesus is the most valuable thing that God has given anyone. I know Alaska's full of gold, and a lot of gold's come out of it, but it doesn't compare to relationship with Jesus. In fact, the streets of heaven, the Bible says, are paved with pure gold. Which something we've never seen here on planet Earth. They walk on it there. Like this side, like the blacktop. Yeah, that's what that is to God. But relationship? Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you and me could have eternal life. That you and me could pray and get an answer from the King of Glory. That you and I, when you're hurting their most, you have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. There's an old song that says, nobody knows the trouble I'm in, but he does. And he feels it. And he's there. Why? Because of relationship with him. Would you just bow your heads all over the place? Father, I thank you for this time with my King's family here. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for relationship. Thank you that you love us so much. That you want to do life with us. You want to work through us. And we recognize that you are our great resource of relationship. And Father, I pray now, if there's anybody sitting here that's not right with you, if there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that their sins have been forgiven, that their hearts have been changed, they've been transformed by the grace of heaven, I pray, God, that you would open their hearts right now. Remove every barrier, every lie, every hurt, every pain, anything that's keeping them from you. Wrap your arms of grace around them right now and draw them in, I pray, Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody leave here today, Father, I pray, if it's possible. If that's you, if you're sitting here right now and you're not right with God, hey, we all need Jesus. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's for you and me today. The gift of God's grace. If you're not right with God, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're never more than one simple, sincere prayer away from connecting with him. And I'd love to lead you in that prayer right now. But I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take your jar of oil out. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm going to ask you to do something. Take a step of faith like she did. When I count to three in just a minute, all over this place, if that's you, if you don't know that you know that Jesus is the Lord of your life, but you want to know, when I count to three, just slip your hand up where you are, and you just put it right back down. It's not for me. It's your jar of oil. It's your step of faith. You're saying, Jesus, this is my moment. This is my time. I'm not going to live another day without knowing that you're my Lord and Savior. I want to be fully engaged with you, Jesus. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I want to receive your grace today. I want to turn my life over to you. Are you ready? One, two, three. Slip those hands up. God bless you. Hands are just going up all over this place. All over this place. And you can put them down. You don't have to hold them up. Hands are still going up. Anyone else before we pray? Then stand to your feet, would you please? If you can, stand to your feet and we're going to pray. I want to lead you in this simple prayer. I want you to pray it. If you raised your hand, pray this loud enough to hear yourself. And family, let's all pray. Let's lead them together. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for reaching out to me. And today, Jesus, I'm reaching back. I ask you now, come into my heart and life. Forgive me of my sins and change my life forever. I give my life to you, Jesus. All my hopes, all my dreams, I lay them at the cross. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I boldly say, with my new faith, I'm saved, born again. And I'll never, never, never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.